Meantime, the student loan
Blog Talk Radio.
However, Biden on Twitter noted the pause is being pushed back one final time. Ukrainian President Zelensky is thanking the U.S. for an unprecedented security assistance package of almost $3 billion on the country's Independence Day. On the 31st anniversary of Ukraine's Declaration of Independence, Zelensky wrote a tweet to President Biden expressing gratitude for his unwavering support. Pending home sales are posting another drop. The National Association of Realtors says they fell 1% in July, despite mortgage rates not being as high as the previous months. The group's chief economist added, we may be at or close to the bottom in contract signings. Governor Ron DeSantis, Senator Marco Rubio, and dozens of other elected officials and police officers from across the state of Florida and country are gathering at Lone Depot Park to say a final farewell to Miami-Dade Police Detective Cesar Chavarri. Miami-Dade Mayor Daniela Levine Cava says the 29-year-old will always be remembered as a true hero.
Our county, especially our law enforcement community, weeps today. Our hearts are aching at the loss of a brave, young, and selfless soul that was stolen from us too soon.
Chavarri, a five-year veteran, was shot in the head by a robbery suspect in Liberty City last week. He leaves behind his parents, sister, and fiance Stephanie, who he was supposed to marry in just a few weeks. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
The world is always on, but you shouldn't be. Put your sleep to bed. Labor Day sale, get a king for the price of a queen, or a queen for a twin. Save up to $700 on deals. Talk to a sleep expert and unjunk your sleep today. Mattress Firm.
And let's go ahead and take a look now at our alternative talk weather. I look for Wednesday. Another warm, sunny, gorgeous day we have in store for us today. High temperatures around 83, 84 degrees. Low temperatures back down to about 64. For Thursday, more sunshine expected and warmer temperatures. Highs in the upper 80s, probably topping out about 89, 90 in selected areas. Thursday night, increasing clouds. Low temperatures back down to about 63. For Friday and running up into the weekend, partly sunny skies. High temperatures cooler in the mid to upper 70s.
Hey, it's Kristen Ralston Steiner of Breaking Through. I'm so glad you're listening, and I hope you listen to our show. We're on Mondays at 5 a.m. It's a show that tackles the top topics facing our nation and gives you, yes, you, ways to take action, ways to make your voice heard, ways to create change, ways to lift our nation and protect democracy. Again, Mondays at 5 a.m., we have fabulous guests, we have fabulous ideas, and a conversation that you're going to want to join. Talk with you soon.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody, welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. We've got a great two-hour lineup for you. Really amazing, amazing things. Really coming out of the gate in the first hour, I'm going to introduce Mona to you, Mona Sabani. But I want to take a minute before I do that because one of the things I just, Benny, we just got to keep reminding folks that, one, we are changing our time slot. Yes, we've been in this time slot for almost 20 years. And we're moving to a drive time, but you'll get lots of information on that. Where you're listening to us from, you'll still be able to get us. AM FM in Seattle, you'll be able to get us on the transmission, you know, our network, don't worry about it. But it was very exciting. It's a very exciting move for us. It's something that I've wanted to do with my show. Nothing changes in our Transformation Talk Radio schedule. So I wasn't clear about that the other day, Benny. And I had to just tell everybody, don't worry. You're going to still be able to watch every show. Like if you're at Transformation Talk Radio not right now and you're looking at that homepage, you're like looking at us. You're just seeing us. So all of that will stay the same. Now, what I love is I'm always fascinated how Linda, Mandanisa, you know, all of these PR people that we've been working with for so long, how they line things up and give us amazing books like the one today we're going to talk about exactly when we needed to read this book. Okay, so I don't know, like I don't know how Mona did that. I don't know how everything gets lined up, but I do know that when I look at my life, I could never have logically with this brain mapped the life out that I have today. If I think that I could do that all by myself, oh no, oh no. So what is it though? What is it when you hear me talk about the spiritual nature of some of the events in my life? What am I talking about? Well, I'm not going to talk about them today because that's what my very special guest and author of Proof of Spiritual Phenomena. I love this. And I love we get to talk science. What do I mean by that? This is a neuroscientist's discovery of what? Ineffable mysteries of the universe. I love that she has stepped forward and do this book. I know what it takes to kind of come out and say, I'm going to be about this. I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to teach about it. And you're going to hear from Dr. Mona herself on the journey and the book and so much more. But let me tell you about who she is even more. So I'm not sure how each of us gets to where we are, but you're going to hear from her. I have now been able to look back at my life and kind of put the little dots together. Like when you go out to eat and there's like this diagram of like an elephant that you can't see, but you have to like follow the numbers and then it's an elephant. But she is a cognitive neuroscientist and author and entrepreneur. She's a former researcher at, we went to school very closely together, former researcher and scientist at the University of Southern California. She holds a doctorate in neuroscience from USC, completed postdoctoral fellowship at Vanderbilt and MacArthur Foundation, and learned some things. So here's what I want to say. You're going to hear, when you guys hear me talk about studying and researching the consequences of broken promises for 10 years, we learn some things. Now, unlike Dr. Mona, I have not had the courage to write a book about it. Dr. Mona, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
This idea and phenomenon, this book, and I just briefly told people a little bit about you, but I'm going to ask you a question I've been asking people for 20 years. I could go on about what you've done. We could pull up your academic articles. We can go over those things. We could really get into it. We're not going to, though. I don't want to scare you away. But here's what I really want to know. I really want to know what you, Dr. Mona Somani, what you had to go through, what obstacles, what challenges you had to overcome to bring you to this very moment right here today.
With most of myself.
A true neuroscientist.
Most of myself and my beliefs and my concepts of the world, my worldview, what I thought about myself and what I thought of the world. I think those were probably, and then I write about all that in the book, but that's, it was a transformation and it was really just, it was sort of started off with facing my worldview, and then it ended up being a more personal transformation, I guess. Yeah, like what I believe about myself. It ended up being like two crises rolled up in one to get here.
Yeah. I love the opening of the book. Welcome to the public funeral of the old me. Something like that, right? Is that the opening of the book?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
I hope you had a party.
Yeah, we're still celebrating. Yeah. It was because my old, and what I meant by that was I I was a typical, like, hard-nosed skeptical scientist and didn't believe in anything. Actually, I was very anti-spiritual and anti-religion and anti-religiosity in general. And so I was, you know, the least likely person to open my mind. I was pretty aggressively anti all those things. And then I just had a series of, you know, life events happen that forced me to look at those beliefs and to look at my worldview and ultimately transform them. And as I mentioned, I ended up transforming myself as well. So it really was like becoming a whole new person. And I look back and it kind of, at some point I was like, I need to decide that I'm going to embrace this new person and in sort of like a metaphorical sense, have a funeral for the person that I used to be. And hopefully that'll help me accept it and kind of move forward. So it actually was a whole mental thing that I went through. And that's why I wrote it that way.
Yeah, I love it because that's, you know, there's a lot of things you and I have in common. You know, one of the things that I can't remember the book where I read it, where you were talking to your soul sisters and you say something, you know, like, who let me isolate? And then, you know, and then I came back because I love that part of the journey. You know, the other thing is we all do these rituals the way we want. Like you, anti-religion, I don't even know all the antis, right? I mean, there's a whole lot of them. But there are events we can point to where it's either like a trickle or a flood. Now, mine was not a trickle. Mine was a very out of integrity boss. In 1997, in the middle of my dissertation down here at Claremont, who sent me on a vision quest to literally copy everything Sidonia Cahill was doing, steal her techniques, bring them back so he can use them.
Oof.
I'm saying that to you because when we embark on any kind of spiritual, I call it tickled by a feather or hit by a brick, we changed.
Mm-hmm.
What can you recall of your first, how should I say it, aha, that, oh, wait a minute, I totally cannot even walk into that Catholic church anymore. This is not you. This is and now I find myself going to St. Patrick Cathedral and taking holy water. Okay. Did you have a moment like that?
Yeah. For me, it was, I didn't have one moment where everything changed because that's actually the transformation was the kicking and screaming that my mind, my ego and my mind went kicking and screaming. So that it was not one thing, but it was a series of things, but the thing that kicked it off was that, so I'm Persian, that's my heritage. My parents are from Iran, and in our culture, we have a tradition of, I guess, doing divination using Armenian coffee grounds. So it's like a heavier coffee. You drink it in a cup, you leave the grounds, you flip it over, it dries and turns into pictures, and then a reader can divine or intuit, whatever you prefer. Things about your life. And so my grandmother was very skilled in it, and she taught my mom, and my mom was apparently very good. And so this was always going on in the background of our family parties, and people would always come over to have my mom read. And then when I got older, my friends would, you know, like fight over who could come over for readings. And I kind of ignored it and didn't really pay attention to it, didn't really think it was real, obviously. And then when I was in graduate school, my family's from Los Angeles, so I would come home on the weekends, and she started we would have coffee together, and she would just absentmindedly read for me. And I, at first, you know, didn't even pay attention to it, but then started noticing that the things that she said would come true. And, like, with very weird accuracy, like, there'd be really small details that would be significant to me but insignificant to someone else. And she just knew the ins and outs of situations. So I started writing them down and tracking them for years and years because I was kind of interested. And I just realized she was way more right than she was wrong. But I couldn't, you know, reconcile it with my science, so I never bothered to try. And then in 2016, she saw a like a really bad thing that was coming up, and she kept seeing it for weeks, like 5 weeks in advance. And she usually doesn't even tell me about bad things or won't warn me. But this one, she was like, "Oh, I need to, I feel like I need to tell you because it keeps coming up and it looks unusual and whatever." And so 5 weeks later, one of our professors at USC was murdered by one of the students, and it was someone I had worked, or he had helped me with an experiment on my dissertation. Luckily, I was, I mean, not that it matters, but I had graduated. I was still working at USC, yeah. But I wasn't in the program anymore. But anyway, and so I told her, and she was like, "Oh, it was a death. I didn't know who it was, but I knew it was going to be unusual." And so that kind of shook me, because obviously it was already an upsetting event. And then I couldn't get past how she had seen it weeks in advance. Like, I was like paralyzed with fear of like, what does this mean? And what is this universe? And I didn't do anything with that, but it really shook me. And I feel like that was probably the first, like, I think of it as like seed being planted. I think that was the first seed that kind of just shook me. And then 2 years later, I had a heartbreak, like a romance that my mom had seen coming, and it sounded like it was going to be good. And then most of the details were right, but it ended, and I was not in a great place personally. And so when I just fell into like depression and despair for the first time ever, and realized, you know, I asked, my mom's outcome was wrong. And so then I became interested in the mechanics of the readings, and I had to figure it out. I was like, I have to know how these things work. Is there fate or destiny? You know, are things written in stone? Do things change? And so that was the event that really kicked off kind of my journey, like, of actually investigate. Like, I wanted to interview psychics and mediums and understand what they experienced. And I didn't even know if I believed it.
Right.
I think it was true. So it was kind of, it was a journey to see if I believed.
Finally.
Yeah.
I love that. See, there's a reason I'm asking you to share this, because people are going to go back to this interview and they're going to listen to this and they're going to understand why you wrote the book you did. And I wanted people to get to know this part of you, because they can find out who you are as a neuroscientist. They have heard me talking up about me as a researcher and what research on broken promises did to me, in a good way, but a very sad way, because I had no idea that when I studied, formerly known as psychological contract violation, a very strange word for broken promises, I studied with the issue. So, but after 10 years and the way they shaped and wanted me to study this, just like you in a lot of ways in this book, quantitative, qualitative, postdoctorate, I have 1,200 pages to this day of interview notes that I can't barely look at. But here's why I asked you this. If you all are listening, go and look at this book, read the introduction, please, because what you're going to find not only what we're talking about, but you're going to find this statement. And I was so thrilled. This was a game changer for, I get a lot of books, but when I read this, I said, we have got to interview her. I need to know more. Right there, you go and you say something like, before we slip into that story, and we'll tell you about that, we are talking. He said, I thought long and hard about the inclusion of this book of fringe science findings. I love that parentheses, because what are those other than outliers? And then I almost stopped. But then you said, but ultimately decided to include them because the evidence was strong by any normal measure of scientific standards. Congratulations, please.
Thank you.
Stop, Mona. Dr. Mona Wright, talk about this, because I want to talk about what we're talking about in the book now. But most people that write a book and that come from a science and research background, it was the outliers in my book that won my research awards. I would imagine it was the outliers in this book that changed you, did they?
Yeah, it was all that evidence. And so, yeah, like I just mentioned, I went on like a personal quest. I went on an interview quest to interview people. It started off that way. It's just for myself. You know, I just wanted the answers. So I was interviewing people just for me. But then, yeah, it turned into this more, you know, actual, like, let me read scientific papers, let me read books, let me talk to people doing the research. I never intended to do that. It just turned into that because as I spoke to people, they would recommend things, and I naively thought that there had been not a lot of research done on psychic phenomena. I knew parapsychology vaguely existed somewhere in the ether, but I wasn't familiar, you know, with any of the methods or any of the work. And so, yeah, I just naively thought this hadn't been studied. But then as I was interviewing people, I came to realize that there had been hundreds of studies and that there were so many that there were meta-analyses and reviews, you know, which in science is like a way that we pull all the data together and assess how strong the evidence is for something. And yeah, I was just blown away at the scale of the research and the modernity. Like these were new studies still being published. They were methods that I was familiar with that we had used in our own research, psychology and neuroscience. And yeah, the effect sizes were small, but so are most of the effect sizes in psychology studies. So, I really was looking at these, trying to be critical of them. And I thought, I mean, I just can't, like I've published my own papers and, these are as good as those or as good as my colleagues, if not better. And you just have to brush it away. And most people do because they're just not interested in it. They haven't read it in the first place. But since I was interested in reading it, I was like, well, I don't know. It's kind of like, and in science, you really can't do that. You can't, if you're like writing a lit review, you can't be like, this paper doesn't support my model. I'm not going to include it.
We could do a whole show on that conversation, right? But yeah. You're right. You can't do it.
Yeah, so and I really did. I was like, oh, should I just write a book on my transformation, which it was easy. But then I thought it was such a part of the story, the psychic stuff was such a part of the story, and I was really genuinely impressed by the research. I mean, I really was. I was just like, this is pretty good.
Shocking. It blows you away. I do a show. I want to get right to the book because, man, I love that you not only included everything we're talking about, but I thank you for honoring your parents and your parents' journey. And let me tell you why. 6 months after starting this show, I started to doubt myself, and I got very, very sick. And the angel lady, this is true now, okay? This could have been in your book. The angel lady at the time said to me, you've got to go find a naturopath that works on T3. So back in 2003 and 04, there was like not what we have today.
Mm-hmm.
I Googled and up came a number of people and I picked Dr. Nusheen Darvish. The same story as your parents. Her parents, they migrated to Canada, right? Iranian background, didn't know any of this at that time, saved my life. She's now my best friend. We do shows together. She took risks. She's a medical intuitive. But I will tell you that the series of events I also learned through her spiritual, can I call them holdings and beliefs? Because it wasn't anything that she was going to say to me that would help me understand that I could get better. She would hold the space for this. And I get the sense that was your mom. I think your mom in the story. But as you go on and you write the book, and thank you for honoring them.
Yeah, thank you for saying that.
Yeah.
The journey.
Yeah. I actually became one of the spokespeople, did an event for the Baha'i religion to stop the persecution of women trying to gain knowledge in Iran. But today, I want to ask you about the way you just get right into this, man. Because this is the foundation, I think, for everything else in the book. You're wondering if you're on the right path.
Yeah.
And then you say, yes, you are. I want to use that as a basis for what else comes in the book. Because even today, I get hit with doubt right up the side of my head, like I got hit by a 2x4, and I have to realize, what do you call it? My brain is a storyteller, and sometimes it tells like stories of nightmares. From a neuroscience perspective, can we talk about the idea of our brain being a storyteller? Because you really set the stage for us to open up to more possibilities, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's, I could talk about the experiments if you want, but there's a series of experiments in neuroscience that, the reason I included all that in the book was because I was trying to explain that the reason why neuroscientists are additionally more skeptical than regular scientists because we study the brain, and then the brain filters information and it reworks the information that it does let in by creating meaning, creating stories around it. Your brain's constantly trying to take its past information and predict what's going to happen in the future. And it does that with whatever information it has available. But it uses all these different filters like your personality, your past experiences, and whatever current goal you have in mind, it uses that to filter information. And so the experiments I talk about in the book that exemplifies how the brain is, how much of a storyteller it is that it's these split brain patient experiments. It's a really old experiment. They used to, there's two hemispheres of the brain. They're connected by a bundle of neurons in the middle. And in the old, I don't think they do this anymore, but with certain patients that had intractable epilepsy, they used to cut the bundle of neurons that connects the two hemispheres, and it would stop the epilepsy. But then a range of other problems occurred. So with these patients, the two hemispheres, normally they can speak to each other and share the information that they have, but in these patients they couldn't. So with these patients, what they would do is your right eye connects to your left brain and your left eye connects to your right brain. So they wanted to see, are the left and right brain different from each other? So they would, for example, present a word to the, to the right eye that goes to the left hemisphere, and then, or a picture even, and ask the person, let's say it's of a duck, and ask the person, what did you see? And the for most people, language is housed in the left hemisphere, so most of the patients would be able to tell the researcher out loud, like verbally, I saw a duck.
Yeah.
But if they showed the picture to the other eye and it went to the right hemisphere, the right hemisphere doesn't have language. So if the researcher would ask the person, they wouldn't be able to verbally respond. They wouldn't know. But if you ask them to draw a picture, like if you gave them paper and a pen, you say, what did you see? Their mouth would say, I don't know, but their hand would draw the duck.
I love this. This is so very important. And let me tell you why. Thank you for including the science in the book.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for explaining it. You had to make a conscious decision to do this because what you just explained, if parents understood what you just said, or adults understood what you just said, I'm going to let you finish this story too because it has a punchline.
Yeah.
We would be very different. Now, the reason I was excited about it because I'm what you call learning different. I'm also, what is the right word? Mentally different is what we call ourselves now. Remember we used to say you're slow, you're disabled. Remember that language, right? Okay, please don't email me, you all. Look, this is what we were called. We didn't have the understanding you just talked about. So when somebody could not say the word duck, you are classified, right, as something is really wrong with you. But you see, the fact that you, as an amazing author, a neuroscientist, are able to include that science in a book like this, you're really doing groundbreaking things here, aren't you?
Oh, just trying to share the knowledge, I guess.
Very modest. But I love this. We're going to take a short break because when we come back, we're going to talk about why this is important in the rest of the book. Look, I grew up, I'm a kid from New York. I grew up in the projects. I had a certain learning difficulties, but I never saw words. Even today as you speak, I don't know if you're watching my face. I'm trying not to stare at you. But every word you say, I see images.
Mm.
That's why you don't do good on GRE exams and you don't, right?
Yes.
Right? But you can become a great theorist. You can draw a diagram of, I could draw a diagram right now of exactly what you said. There are millions of kids and adults now that if they understood this, but what else taps into this? Can you be a person like we're describing and have innate, amazing, intuitive abilities? We're going to talk about that when we come back. But before we do, Dr. Mortar, can you please let folks know how do they get a copy of this amazing book and how do they find out about you?
Yeah, the book is sold wherever books are sold, but you can link, I link to it directly on my website, which is monasavaniphd.com, and most of the information should be there.
Yeah. And those of you out there, just Google this here, Google proof of spiritual phenomena. Just Google that and then Google neuroscience. It's going to come up. You're going to get it. When we come back, we're going to really take a deeper dive into where the journey for Dr. Mona goes. You know, what is it now where you get so excited about what you've discovered? And I love, love, love that she included this science in the book. Because what happens when you then get to the question, is there a God? Let's take a short break, everybody. We'll be right back. 1-800-930-2819. If you'd like to ask a question, all of the above. We'll be right back, Benny and Jacob.
Are you ready to experience full body system wellness? Tune in to the Empower Me Show with Pam Bright, a spiritual toolbox for your life. Embrace the fullness of who you are as a spiritual being, having a human experience. Pam Bright is a multidimensional healer, light language channel, energy intuitive, and spiritual transformation coach. Join her for a rich conversation about how to unlock all your spiritual gifts on Transformation Talk Radio.
In body, in power, in soul. Activate the spirit within you in deep conversations of power, faith, grace, love, and forgiveness. On Soul-Inspired Reflections, Ascension, a Humble Awakening of the Heart. Join me, your host, Gina Libido, every second Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. And find that even the chaos of your world makes sense and has meaning and purpose. Make a choice, be inspired, take action. For more information, go to soulinspired.org. That's soul-inspired.org.
Power up with Dr. Pat at a new time. The Dr. Pat Show is still bringing you talk radio to thrive by now at a new time. Listen and watch live on KKNW and the Transformation Network Mondays and Wednesdays at 7 a.m. Pacific Time, beginning Monday, August 28th. Stay tuned for new perspectives, powerful conversations, and epic transformation. For more information on how and where to find Dr. Pat and the rest of the Transformation Network hosts, visit thedrpatshow.com.
Sometimes being human has its challenges. Our physical health falters, our spirits sag, our dreams don't immediately come to fruition. Welcome to the power of Maximum Medicine Radio. Join me, Doc Martin, in conversations that will blow your mind about healing. In our hit show, Doc Martin addresses the scientific with bridging to the mystical approaches to give you a new narrative about Maximum Medicine. In this live call-in show, we will journey into the extraordinary genius of the human body and talk about other beliefs that impact being your multidimensional self. We seek the seen and the unseen and explore the earthbound and the otherworldly, all with the purpose of calling forth the maximum you. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.SharonMartinMD.com.
Thank you.
everybody. Welcome back. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. You know, as you go through the book, I want to just make sure you all know that I am having a great time here, and you are hearing about the journey, the story, the research, and now you're going to hear about the phenomenon of what it takes to write a book called Proof of Spiritual Phenomenon. You know, this is a neuroscientist's discovery of the ineffable mysteries of the universe, Dr. Mona Sabani. Now, you all have heard me talk about what it took for me to get a spiritual measure in my postdoctorate work. Well, what it took for me is not to call it that. But here we are today with somebody that said, I have got to understand this, I am going to write about it, and I am going to write a book about it. And that's what you want to do. You want to just read Proof of Spiritual Phenomena. Dr. Motor, thank you for today. Look, you did a beautiful job of not just sharing your personal story, but then you talk about the people that show up and your science, and then you talk about the people that show up that became guides for you. And so when I read the book and I step back and read the book and then I go back, you've literally laid out your soul's blueprint in this book and what shifts you had to make.
Yeah.
Mentally, spiritually, probably physically, because you wanted to tell a story. Let's talk about the story that is then told in the rest of the book and what you found in the, I'm going to say in the research of this, because that is like, to me, that is like worth its weight in gold nuggets and alien pictures.
Yeah, when I was, after my mom's reading and I would decide I wanted to kind of dig into this, my girlfriends and I started going for psychic readings for fun. And they were, you know, they were at first, because I told them, I was like, I want to understand if these readings are real. And I had never been to a psychic or an intuitive besides my mom's readings, because I didn't actually like externally or publicly believe any of that stuff. I didn't even know if I believed it, my mom's stuff, or if it was just coincidence. And so my friends would go to psychics, and they knew some one woman in LA who would turn you away. She wouldn't take your money if she couldn't read you, and she had actually turned my friend away twice, and she was like, honey, like, I can't read you. So they're like, we should go to her, and then we can, let's compare readings. So my friends and I kind of did this for fun. Like, we went over the course of a year to the same reader at the same time, to the same reader at different times, like different readers. And then we all had different things going on in our lives, so we compared notes just for fun. And through that, we're like, oh, there's definitely something going on here. Like, they're picking up on specific things in our, from our past, you know, from all of our pasts are different, like things currently going on. And so then that's when I started, I hadn't even started. I hadn't done anything with that. That was kind of the very beginning, and that was just for us to generally understand. And then in the readings, they would talk about karma and soul lessons and soul groups and reincarnation and stuff like that. And I did not have any mental framework for that whatsoever. I'd never heard of this. Just from culture, pop culture, I heard about reincarnation, but I didn't believe in it, so I just kind of brushed it off. But I wrote it down, I recorded the sessions, it was there. And then a few months later, I was listening to Chelsea Handler, had this limited series podcast on a book she'd just written, and not related to spirituality at all, but randomly one of her podcast episodes, she had Laura Lynn Jackson, who's a psychic medium, she had her on the show. And then Laura Lynn Jackson started talking about the spiritual framework and like Earth as a school. We come here to learn lessons. And I kind of just perked up because I was like, oh, this like sounds familiar to what the psychics had told me, and which I had brushed off because I didn't understand earlier. So I kind of like turned up the, you know, what I think I was listening in my car. I just like turned it up and I was like, what is she? And I was kind of trying to pay attention. And then in their conversation, they mentioned, in passing, a book that everyone should read, but they didn't really talk about what it was, but it was Many Lives, Many Masters by Dr. Brian Weiss, and they said it was like a psychiatrist case study. So I ordered it on Amazon, not even knowing what the book was about. I just thought it was a psychiatrist case study. They said everyone should read it. I ordered it. It arrived, and then I started reading it, and then I was like, what am I reading? This is so weird. And I was very my old self. This is old me. So I was reading it, and I was like, what is this? It's like, this is kind of ridiculous. What is this guy talking about? But I finished the book, and that was the third time the spiritual framework was in the book. And I was like, what is happening right now? Like, there was these psychics I went through in L.A. talk about this framework. It was like Laurelyn Jackson and Chelsea Handler were talking about it. And I'm like, and now this prestigious, you know, Yale Columbia educated psychiatrist is talking about it. And the way he came across it is because one of his patients in a regression, you know, spontaneously described it, even though she didn't believe in it. So anyway, to me as a scientist, that was like three different data points. And I was kind of like, this is strange. And it kind of just piqued my interest because it did help me mentally reframe. So I was obviously not going through a difficult time in my life. And it was an interesting fun exercise to reimagine the things going on in my life from a spiritual perspective. And I found it to be very valuable, and it really turned things around for me, like psychologically. Yeah. Even though I was just playing around with the ideas, I was like, well, what if, you know, instead of thinking about this situation this way, I thought about it as, what lesson am I supposed to be learning from this? Or, you know, what have I learned from the situation that I can take with me moving forward? So that simple reframe really helped me, and I was surprised by it. And then, like I said, I had an identity crisis because I was upset by it, because I was like, no, I'm a scientist, and my identity was, no, I'm anti-spirituality. This can't be helpful. Like, I spent my whole life raging against it. But it was so helpful, and nothing else had helped up to that point, that I, you know, eventually had to just accept it. I think it got to a point where I was living in dissonance for a while, where I, in my head, I was like, you know, this is really helping me, but I think publicly I still wouldn't admit it to anyone. But that book made me really interested because not only was it just fascinating that he laid out the spiritual framework, but it turned out that the regressions were very healing for people mentally, emotionally, and physically. So I went and read all his books and dug into the whole past life regression literature. Roger Wolker, Michael Newton, I read all of the books.
Wow.
I was just fascinated. And then, of course, that led me to other. Of course, past life regression is not something, the best thing to you can investigate scientifically, like with scientific rigor. But I wasn't looking for that at that point. I was just interested in the stories. But that was a jumping off point, you know, for later to read the reincarnation literature and near-death experiences. And that kind of led me down this rabbit hole of other books on other worldviews, other philosophies, other spiritual frameworks.
Yeah, it's like breadcrumbs, isn't it? I mean, it's like, look, the reason that you're able to do this is because anybody that's ever gone through the rigor of research that has to be approved by a board, and I don't want to bore people listening to the show with that, but there are hoops you must jump through, especially even if you are taking information from other ideas, other people, other stories, other notations, other citations. Everything is approved. Everything has to be done. That's why I'm so excited about what you did. But to go from where you are to where we get to at the end of the book is exciting. Here's what I want to ask you about.
Yeah.
I know for me, there were certain things I expected from this research. And in the middle of it, I get sent on this 10-day vision quest, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why? I mean, think about it. I'm in school. I'm doing this high-powered consulting up here. My boss is flying me back and forth because somebody thinks I'm invaluable. Going down to Claremont, my schedule works out entirely without a hiccup for 6 years. Impossible, right? I mean, you know it. But in the middle of it, right before I had to actually start my stuff, a 10-day vision quest in the desert, like with snakes. Okay, so here's what I want to ask you, because I only have one way to explain that, and it's not logical, it's not science, and it's not linear. But as you went through and you look at the rest of the book and the stories you included, there had to be somewhere you said, oh, no. Did that really happen?
Oh,
which ones come to mind without giving everybody the whole book,
yeah,
right? But
I know there were some things that shifted me and changed me on that vision quest, which I couldn't explain. And it took me a really long time to talk about. I couldn't even talk about the experience. And then when I did, I had to read it. I couldn't talk about it. I had to read it.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things in my journal said, how a turkey vulture saved my life. What's your turkey vulture here?
So at first, as a scientist, I was digging into the scientific literature after I read those past life regression books. I was like, all right, let me dig into the psychic, you know, the studies. And I was still in this, like, I believe, I don't believe phase for a very long time because even if you read the studies, you're kind of like, contradicts my worldview. It's hard to accept. So then what pushed me over was the personal experience. So, like, as soon as I started to open up to this, you know, the spirituality, and I've always been a meditator, actually, for many years, but I started, you know, like, I think I talked about this one in the book, but I set an intention when I was meditating to, like, allow, you know, something significant from the next few days to come to me. And so, like, I had one of those precognitive visions that came true. And, I mean, when you have a moment like that, it's, you know, it's so powerful. You have goosebumps. Like, you're so shook. You don't even know what just happened. Like, you know, you're like, oh, I read the scientific papers, but this is different experiencing it. I mean, that was one of them. And then the one I talk about at the end of the book, this was one of those moments where I, like, just chilled from head to toe. And this is at the very beginning, right after I had heard, I think I heard Chelsea's podcast and Laura, that whole thing was in September, and I, like, ordered many Lives, Many Masters in October, and in December we were going, my group of friends was going, we were meeting at a restaurant for dinner for a birthday, and my friends texted me on the way, oh, and I had asked the universe for a sign, so I was like, all right, I'm going to try out this spiritual thing, you know, and I had kept asking for signs, but I would forget the sign that I chose. And so it was like, it was failing miserably. And I was like, the universe is not proving itself to me. And so, like, in December, I was like, you know what? If the universe wants me on this path, like, it's going to have to give me a really huge sign that I can't ignore, that is super meaningful for me and only me, and I'm not going to choose it. It has to show me. And so then, like, 2 days later, we're going to dinner at this restaurant, and my friends texted me. I was, like, 5 minutes away, and they're like, how far are you from the restaurant? Are you going to get here soon? And I'm like, yeah, I'm 5 minutes away. Why? And they're like, Chelsea Handler's here. They're like, she's here. She just came with her friends and her family. She's sitting down. So they're like, she's probably going to be here for a while, so don't rush, but she's here. And I just had chills. Like, I have chills again right now because I just remember thinking, like, I could not even speak when I got to the restaurant. I'm like, I can't believe this. Like, I've never seen, I live in LA. I've never seen her before. I've never
exactly.
seen her. But I saw her that night, like, right when I asked for a sign, and I was just like, and I told my friends, and we were all just like, in disbelief. It was very, I know it's, you know, like, the scientist in me is still like, that's stupid, but she's still there in the back commenting on everything. But it's like those experiences are so powerful, you know, like, emotional. They're so, like, I got goosebumps again when I tell, every time I tell the story. Those things are meaningful to us as humans, and they, you know, evoke emotion, which makes you happy, which makes you healthy. So regardless of whether it's true or not, which we may never be able to prove, it's like, whatever, just bask in it.
Thank you. And I love that you're sharing that, because that is a really perfect example. I do a show on Thursdays. I've been doing this for a long time, but rarely have I co-hosted with other people. And I decided, Mark Anthony and I decided to do a show called The Psychic and the Doc. It's on Thursdays at 4 o'clock, and it's fairly interesting. Now, I understand a lot about this, but when you see Mark in action, this is not a science research. I don't know what he's doing or how he's doing it, but when he talks to a listener and says, somebody's coming through, and I keep smelling roses, oh, but it's roses in metal, and he goes through, and then the person says, oh, that's my father who loved Guns N' Roses. I'm like, what? So part of this is realizing after reading your book that we have this phenomena in our own lives, every day of our lives. And I love that you ask for signs, because I ask for signs all the time. And my recent sign is this squirrel right over there, right? I'm doing a show from home today because I had to get a little surgery on my foot. And I got this little squirrel for the entire Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday doing the show. This little squirrel loves to come up, pop up, sit on this, and staring at me. But let's talk about in the last minutes we have left, because what this book does is it helps people understand the phenomenon that may be going on in their own lives, just like you sharing your story, right? And I had a sense that that was really important for you to create this book with these stories, with the science, so people can figure out that we're getting information. Please look at how you might use it. Was that part of your vision for this?
Yeah, that's part of it. I had a lot of reasons for writing it. I think, as I mentioned, my personal transformation and journey was so excruciating for me because I was very judgmental of myself and others and arrogant and all those things. And so it's just interesting from like a psychological personal transformation thing for me. It was really difficult, but super valuable. And I think everyone should do it. And I think that, I think the other aspect, the more spiritual aspect was that I found the spirituality was very valuable and helpful. And so since then I've dug into other research, you know, showing like it's actually good for your health, for, you know, a number of ways. And so kind of in a way, because I think I felt like I didn't have permission to believe that because of my scientific training. And so I really was writing the book for like the person I used to be, being like, it's okay if you want to believe in something that we don't have 100% evidence for, because in fact, science doesn't have a lot of answers and explanations for a lot of things. So yeah, it was kind of that, but then, and also that all of the spiritual and mystical things that I engaged in, like meditation, but the self work, psychedelics, all of those things helped me heal.
Yeah.
And so I just think it's important for us to look at those societally. Again, from a neuroscience perspective, we don't have a lot of great explanations for mental illness and a lot of great curative treatments for mental health. And so when on this journey for myself, I found a lot of great modalities for that were maybe off the beaten, they're definitely off the pharmacological path and off, you know, off the psychiatrist's path,
yes.
But they're like altered states of consciousness are very healing and we should really embrace them.
I love it. And, you know, part of this I wanted to share with everybody, but I just want to make sure that those of you that are listening, you know, I am really talking with Dr. Mona Savani. And for those of you that are asking what is the book, it's called Proof of Spiritual Phenomena. It's a neuroscientist discovery of ineffable mystery of the universe. But there's something really important I want everybody to know. When you read the book, there are very few books that are written like this that end the book with more recommendations to read, more citations. And so what I want to say to all of you is, yes, you're going to read an incredible story. And by the way, thank you for your use of metaphors throughout the book.
Mm-hmm.
But what you're going to read is you're going to find information. You're going to find what Dr. Mona has done is in her own way created a story, but in a different way, she's created these dots for you to follow. There's more information in this book in what the references and the citations are on this phenomenon than I've seen in a long time. But I want to share this with everybody, Dr. Mona, if I could, because this was the punchline for me in a lot of ways. Do you mind if I read from your book?
No, not at all.
Okay. So you got to read the rest of the book, but here is the way the book takes you to the end. I came to think of my prior self as someone living in a cave, parentheses, a smart person in a nice, comfortable cave, but limited nonetheless. I thought of my, what I am now considered, life crisis as an earthquake that caused the doomed rock of the cave to crack wide open, allowing sunlight to pour in. The cave was nice before, but the shimmering daylight, an incomparably exquisite with its illuminating warmth, I never want to step out of the sun again. Wow. Now, here we go. From that image of warmth and light, I want to leave you with this. What would you research, read, or begin learning next to further your life experience for the better? I love this. I invite you to get personally acquainted with the enchanted and the numinous dimensions of life in whatever way you choose. This is your invitation from the cosmos. You couldn't have ended that book any better.
Thank you.
Yeah, because
I wanted to invite something because for me on my journey, the personal experience is what seems the deal, right? Like the scientific evidence was nice, but the personal experience is what made it irrefutable for me. So whenever I talk to people now, I say, you know, do all the reading you want. You know, I'll give you references, but go get an astrological reading, go get a psychic reading, go meditate. I can't suggest you do a psychedelic, but if you're into that, do it, whatever, to like get acquainted with my spiritual mystical aspects of the universe.
And thank you for doing that. The other thing I want to thank you for is a beautiful invitation to people. I would love to have you please tell folks how they can find you, how they can get a copy of the book. And then I'd like to know your personal message, what you'd like to leave us with today.
Yeah. So my website is monasabanephd.com. You can pre-order the book there. All the links are there, but the book is sold wherever books are sold, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, wherever. I also write a psychedelic newsletter, so you can sign up for that on the website. My personal mantra now is actually stay radically curious, because I mean, this whole journey has really just taught me that we don't know anything, and to just stay open and curious, because even though, you know, at every point I think you're like, oh, now I know, but just to accept that's never going to end, to just stay curious.
It's not. That's why I do what I do. People have asked me, just so you know, why did I start this in 2003? I am a student. I am so curious. I don't know where that comes from. I don't know why, and I don't know what it's supposed to do. I just know it is something to do. That you and I could share what you've written about and all the work you've put into this with an audience, and somewhere out there, someone will hear something today. Someone will get your book, and their lives will change for the better. And I wanted to thank you for that so much.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
And let's write Chelsea Handler a little note, shall we? Just
like... Yeah, Chelsea, I love you.
I love you. You can still do some stuff. Thank you, Dr. Mona, Benny, Jacob. What a great show, everybody. And please, the book is available. You will be able to get out there and get it. Proof of Spiritual Phenomena, please. There's so much in this book, not only stories, but there are references. And it's an amazing journey as you take this pathway with Dr. Mona. You will get to feel what she is feeling. You'll get to feel and see the aha moments. You'll get to understand the science, and then you'll get the opportunity to step out and be boldly open to infinite possibilities. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Power up with Dr. Pat at a new time. The Dr. Pat Show is still bringing you talk radio to thrive by now at a new time. Listen and watch live on KKNW and the Transformation Network Mondays and Wednesdays at 7 a.m. Pacific Time, beginning Monday, August 28th. Stay tuned for new perspectives, powerful conversations, and epic transformation. For more information on how and where to find Dr. Pat and the rest of the Transformation Network hosts, visit thedrpatshow.com.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program, and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good Wednesday to you. Benny Mathers here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for Around the South. Starting things out over on 405 southbound to 522 interchange in Bothell and Kenmore. It's heavy and stretches all the way back to the Briar and the 524. 405 northbound is still heavy up through Kennedale Hill. It'll break for you after it looks like I-90. And I-5 northbound is heavy just after the Duwamish Curve.
around the West Seattle Bridge on up into downtown Seattle. But that's all right. Stay tuned because coming up next after the news and weather, it's another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network, the Dr. Pat Show Talk Radio to Thrive By, and the Petroglyphs of Moot. Special guest, Carol Nervig.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. First Lady Jill Biden is back in isolation after testing positive for COVID again. A statement from our communications director calls it a rebound and notes she's experienced no reemergence of symptoms. Dr. Biden is at home in Delaware. The White House says President Biden tested negative this morning. The president is forgiving $10,000 of student loan debt. However, it doubles to $20,000 in forgiveness if a person got a Pell Grant. Meantime, the student loan pause will be extended through the end of the year. The UN Security Council is marking 6 months of war between Russia and Ukraine. Ukrainian President Zelensky spoke virtually and said Russia is putting Europe on the brink of nuclear catastrophe. Speaking to a translator, Zelensky again accused Russia of committing war crimes and added Russian murderers must be stopped. A meeting later today will decide the fate of the police chief of the South Texas School District where 21 people were shot to death. Uvalde Consolidated Independent School District trustees will meet to decide whether to fire Chief Pete Edondo. He's been blamed for not behaving like an incident commander during the May shooting at Robb Elementary, despite the fact that multiple heavily armed law enforcement officers were on the scene. Kentucky lawmakers are working together to help flood victims. Governor Andy Beshear has signed off on a special session that's bringing state officials to Frankfort today to discuss the next steps of helping eastern Kentucky's flood victims. New York is touting the most amount of illegal gun seizures in state history. Natalie Migliori has more.
Governor Hochul says state police have seized 1,500 guns between August 2021 to July 2022. That's compared to the 600 guns that were taken off the streets in the same time frame.
That's five times more guns seized in this last year than they did back in 2001. And more than we did in 2010.
Hochul says shootings overall have dropped by 11%. Meantime, New York City Mayor Adams says the NYPD has seized more than 4,700 guns this year and made over 3,000 gun arrests. Hochul and Adams spoke ahead of an interstate task force meeting.
You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
Hi, look, it's Heartburn. How did he know we were at the beach?
No clue, but he's not ruining our vacation. I packed Prilosec OTC. With just one pill in the morning, Prilosec OTC prevents excess acid production that can cause frequent heartburn, so we can enjoy ourselves.
Speaking of, time for our luau.
Aloha, heartburn.
One pill, 24 hours, zero heartburn. With Prilosec OTC.
If possible, while taking Prilosec OTC, use it directed for 14 days to treat frequent heartburn, not for immediate relief.
So let's go ahead and take a look now for alternative talk weather. I look for Wednesday. Another warm, sunny, gorgeous day we have in store for us today. High temperatures around 83, 84 degrees. Low temperatures back down to about 64. For Thursday, more sunshine expected and warmer temperatures. Highs in the upper 80s, probably topping out about 89, 90 in selected areas. Thursday night, increasing clouds. Low temperatures back down to about 63. For Friday and running up into the weekend, partly sunny skies. High temperatures cooler in the mid to upper 70s.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody, welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on here. We have got an amazing show for you today. One of the things I just want to say to everybody is, Benny, and Jacob, you guys have heard me talk a lot about the History Channel on television here recently. And you've also heard me talk about how fascinated I have been in studying my newly founded roots in South America. And I'm not going to even go into that story because people just tell me that is the weirdest thing. Yes, my family had secrets. But what if you are Carol? What if you're Carol Nerd? What if you are this amazing woman that's not just interested in things,
but as somebody that has been in the world and been of the world and understanding how a move or first move to Micronesia Peace Corps volunteer in 1969, how that event can change, can shape, can create a soul path, a life path in incredible ways. And what is it about us where we are touched as she has been to what she discovered and how she discovered it? Undocumented petroglyphs carved on gigantic boulders. Now, I have been able to be envious from afar of what she has done and what she has discovered. And then today we get to take into consideration and get to be honored with her on the show today in a tremendous book that she put together. And as I think about this book, I want to make sure that everybody here is going to be able to get a copy of it out of the gate. You know, when we look at petroglyphs, and now you're going to hear, what are these petroglyphs of? Where are they from? What is the legacy of Lemuria? Yeah, that too. And I want to give this to you all out there. Please give us a call if you want to chat, if you've got questions. I love that the book has actual pictures. Hello. But that's not the only place you can find information about her and what she does. And I'm imagining what it was like for her. I believe it is her feet, maybe in one of the pictures where she's actually standing on this boulder. And I can't even imagine what the energetic blueprint of that must feel like. But how about a runway? How about some of the things you've heard me talk about previously? How about having a life path such as hers, which has led her to a place beyond imagination? And now we all get to be part of this, including the elephant stone. I can't even talk about that yet, but I just did. But we now get to be part of this, and we get to share this, and we get to see it, and we get to know her and get to know her why. Carol, thank you for today. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Dr. Pat. It's an honor to be here.
I think Benny and Jacob and probably Lydia now are probably tired of me talking about my fascination. You know, I think I was joking. Somebody asked me, hey, we hear you talk about, like, you don't watch television, but you watch certain things. I said, yes. When you turn my TV on, you go right to the History Channel. And you go there because of some of the most amazing things people have discovered. I want to ask you this question. I want to start out on a personal note if we could.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even imagine what it was like to be you, to have your heart opened with the discovery. And as you say in the book, right at the top, in honor of the Divine Feminine, welcome home. What was it, Carol, that touched you? What was it that you can remember changed you, shifted you, to give you the knowing and awareness that here I am, this is going to be my life's path?
Well, that's quite a question.
I don't want to fool around.
I hear you. Well, I mean, in that there are so many facets to that whole experience leading me to the, you know, the most dramatic and the clincher on my path, so to speak, was finding the petroglyphs. And prior to that, even being sent to Micronesia and to Pohnpei Island in the Peace Corps was, I had no choice in that. I was assigned to the district near Nam Mit Al and the petroglyphs. And back then, I was just stunned by Nam Mit Al and got involved with that site. And it was a slow, over time, progression after leaving Pohnpei Island in the Peace Corps and then coming back, you know, midlife crisis. So I came back to do the Nam Mit Al Foundation. And that's when I really started noticing the support I had in the synchronicities, doing this first nonprofit ever in Pompeii, or probably all of Micronesia except for churches. And I've got the support to keep me there. And then as a result of moving back in 1990, I was, you know, when I came across this undiscovered portion of the known Pentecost site, it was just hard to describe, very humbling, very, you know, what a gift to stumble across these, and how impossible that this field was burned off due to a drought, which never happens on Pompeii. It gets, you know, 400 some inches of rain a year. And so it was, when we came across them, I was just stunned. I was walking around in an altered state and I didn't at that time totally grasp what the site would mean to me in the future. I mean, I already knew I was addicted to Namadol and doing the foundation and trying to help protect the site. But I had no idea this was in store, which is in many ways way more significant and more motivating for me to pursue this.
Yeah, that's why I asked you the question, because you see, there's one thing to read a book, right? But there's mm-hmm. another thing to really just feel and lean into your energy, right? I love that Barbara Hanslaw participated in a part of this book, because when I sit back after reading the book and then going back again, it is very clear to me the Divine Feminine, Mother Earth, is opening up ways for us to better understand herself.
Exactly.
Right? Did I get that? I was just going to ask you, did I get that?
Oh, no. And these bits and pieces. I mean, this understanding the mother culture, Mother Earth, and why it's so important now was, you know, after time went by, seeing the big picture and knowing that, you know, I have a skill set that I could do this, whereas it was an unusual combination. And about Barbara Ann Clough,
yeah,
that she connecting with her was also a miracle.
Yeah.
And back when I was living in Port Townsend, I
love Port Townsend, boy.
Oh, I know, and I miss it, and I miss the water. I love Ecuador. I love the Andes, but it's all good. It's all good.
I want people to know, first of all, and I'm going to do this throughout the show just so you know. Carol, I want people to know what the book is we're talking about, where they can get it, and how they can find out more. Because, first of all, thank you for putting the pictures you put in here. Thank you for including symbols. So I'm going to ask you a number of times, tell people, how do we get the book? Tell them about the book. And tell them how we can find out more about what you and I are talking about here so they can see it for themselves.
Okay, well, getting the book is easy. The publisher is innertraditions.com,
yeah.
And that's you can purchase it there or at any of the booksellers, you know, the big ones, Simon
yeah.
Schuster, Amazon, et cetera, et cetera. So it's widely available to order online. And as far as since I'm in Ecuador, the book, I'm assuming it's in major bookstores
yes.
by now. And I can't say which ones and where and so forth.
They can Google it. So let's
yeah,
tell them
yeah.
the full name of the book and let them Google away.
Okay, the name of the book is The Petroglyphs of Mu, Pompeii, Namadol, and the Legacy of Lemuria.
See, I didn't even need to look at the book cover to know I wanted to talk to you about it. Look, I want to talk to you about a thread that goes throughout here, and I want you to, you know, I would love to hear your thoughts on it.
Okay.
I'm a kid, grew up in New York. I'm on a path that I never thought I'd be on. I own a network. I do shows. Me feature hosts of things I never thought would even, I didn't even know anything. But here's what I'm looking at today as I look back and I look ahead. I am fascinated not just by what you're talking about in the book and what you discovered, but I'm now talking about the bridge between this amazing book you wrote, all of the things we learned from past, right? You mentioned social scientists like Rion Isler, but so many people. Dr. Andrea Sarian was one of my mentors. So here's the question, though. I am stunned, shocked, and pleasantly surprised that our pop culture, for lack of a better word, via Hollywood, via Bollywood, are putting out movies that are talking about goddesses, great goddesses, goddesses ruling, goddesses of earth, goddesses as a metaphor. I mean, I have never seen such an implosion to create such an explosion of consciousness around this. Do you think I'm like exaggerating a little bit, or are you seeing a little bit of it?
Oh, absolutely. As things come to, as the patriarchy is, you know, in its last throes, I believe, yes, this is finally coming forth. And it's, and my part of, you know, my purpose on this book is twofold, of course, to explain the how this site, to me, is evidence of the mother culture, the goddess culture, and also then to share, you know, the specific, I mean, the petroglyphs and evidence. But as you probably noticed reading the book, I specifically wrote it in such a way to, which was really important to me. I wanted to tell my personal story and narrative of over the years how I've found myself at this site and this whole experience in a personal nature, in a narrative, subjective way. But I also wanted to balance it with the credibility of the facts and figures and the photos and the oral histories and the archaeology, et cetera. And so the chapters alternate between right and left brain. And my intent was to demonstrate in this world how there can be a balance. I mean, it's been certainly out of balance for a while, but the solution isn't the goddess, the feminine dominating. You know, that those cultures at the high aspect, it was a balanced, and there was not a dominator. And so I'm trying to demonstrate this by the actual structure of the book, form follows function kind of thing.
Well, look, you have done that, and that's what I love. I mean, I don't know if you listened to any part of the last hour, but what I'm so fascinated by, which once was a little taboo, Carol. Let's just talk about this a little bit, you know, woman to woman for a minute. Once upon a time, when publishers got books, right, and this is actually not too long ago. I don't even want to go into the dark side of publishing. But once upon a time, there was criteria, and especially for female authors, for women authors, right? And one of the baselines or blowback that came from it is, you know, all this personal story stuff that you're telling, and nobody wants to read that, right? And remember that? Remember that day? But that generally was true of women in general. Mm-hmm. Now, the books that people want to read are books like yours. So when you get to, like, sub-chapters called Schmoozing in Paradise, or you go through and you're looking at what some of the discoveries were, or you're showing pictures and you're looking at yourself and you're telling your story and you're sharing your own personal transformation with people, right? I mean, and then you're using language in your book that is so putting you right there. I mean, there's just the whole deal when you're talking about Ronald and you're going through this and you're saying, he yelled at me. I mean, I'm like right there with you. I'm like, don't yell. Right? But this is the way we want to look at this. Mm-hmm. I want to ask you this question. How did, if I could, it's one thing to be you, Carol. It's one thing to live your life. It's one thing to talk about a sight to behold. But I do believe when you take all of it and you put it in a balanced thing we call a book, it changes you. How did writing this book even change you further?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, I couldn't have written the book until I went through some major changes in my, you know, my self-esteem, my self-confidence. And it was a process, step by step. And I was beating myself up. Well, why haven't I finished? And my friends, you know, I've been talking about this for 10, 20 years and working on it off and on. And I finally realized, like you say, now is the time for the goddess to reemerge. So it was about timing, which mm-hmm. was nothing to do with me personally, but also right. I had to go through those steps to have the confidence because, you know, my fear of being ridiculed about some yeah. of these theories, and that goes back lifetimes, you know. So it was easier sitting behind the computer, but then when the book came out, that was another, I mean, at first it was just surreal. This is finally in the physical, but it was, yes, definitely a process. And I was never, my degree's in fine art, and I had a design business. I designed symbols and branding and so forth. I never imagined writing. And however, years ago, two or three different times, back when I did psychic readings went two people for psychic, I was told two or three times, oh, well, you're a writer. And I said, no, well, you will be a writer. I'm going, I don't think so. And sure enough, and I really, the really exciting part of my personal growth in writing this is when I procrastinate to get there, but once I sit down in front and start writing, then it's so exciting, and I feel so, I have a lot of help, and it's just flowing, and often from places I'm not even sure, where did this idea come from, and that makes me so happy, and that I'm able to have that experience.
Oh, my God. And, you know, I'm so glad you're joining me for the hour, right? Because I want to get to some of the things that you talk about and you point to. I mean, once I finish reading, you know, parts of the book where you go through and you talk about celestial markers, and then you go on and you go further on, and you take us on this little story. It's like a story. And then you talk about the mega finale. I was very surprised when you just answered this. Hello. Connections in the room all the time with me. But then you come to something that I have been finding myself asking myself as we get ready to launch a network with new technology. Here's what you say. What was going through my mind was, why me? Why should I do now? Mm-hmm. Right? And you said, I was filled with the heaviness of responsibility. Was this secret to be shared or protected? Now that to me, and thank you for sharing what the heck is going on with you in your heart and otherwise, right? Because what you're sharing is it a moral dilemma? Is it an ethical dilemma? Is it a science? Is it a scientific dilemma? Is it a spiritual energetic dilemma? And when I step back and I read the rest of the book, you know, I read your book twice. First time I go through it very quickly because mm-hmm. I have a little learning disability that allows me to do that. And then I go back. And I start to look at things. Mm-hmm. I am blown away by what you're approaching. And I'm going to ask you a generalized question. Did you come, this is going to be a tough question because I don't know that I think I'm putting you on the spot. Did you come to a general conclusion for us to create a better world and a better planet from this? And there are things that I could point to in the book that had me come up with that question, different stories, different ways things were revealed to you. I was so struck. There was one image where you were looking at, the wing disc, stone. Mm-hmm. I was looking at the wing disc stone and I was saying, well, okay, that's over there, but wait a minute. She outlined something for clarity that came to her that only Carol could see, I think, right? So I just like these messages were given to you, and that's my question. You know, is there this overarching message that we absolutely must get from years of your work discovery?
Well, yes. And again, I believe that goes back to this is the knowledge recorded from the mother culture.
Yeah.
Time of the goddess. You know, no one else has called this site a fertility or a goddess site until now. And I think it's, I mean, bottom line, there are a lot of reasons to share the information in the book, but the bottom line is to make people aware the site even exists, and then to document the goddess aspect, because to me personally, that's the way out of the dilemma that we have now. We have to go we're going through this shift, and we've lost touch with nature, and that's the problem with most everything on the planet, in my mind, even in religion. You know, we've lost touch with Mother Nature and our connection. And that culture, Mu Lemuria, that was the primary focus. I mean, that was sacrosanct, and you just didn't mess with the land, you didn't mess with nature. And we're about to destroy our planet. So this is hugely, it's our survival. And not only the connection with nature, but those ancient cultures understood other things about, you know, the energetic, the telluric grid system, and how to place mm-hmm. the pyramids or whatever, and how, and many believe that though that system was to keep the earth energies in balance so we don't have these, you know, volcanic and seismic events and upheavals maybe not all, but it just helps, they help to stabilize the planet. So we need to know, in my opinion, how to work with this and there are those that do, and certainly the indigenous have never, I mean, maybe they've forgotten some things, but they're on it and they understand this. And so that's part of the piece where we can get this information.
Look, there's so much I want to talk to you about when we come back from break. Because, you know, I think we're going to do our best job, Carol, to try to represent in this audio what you so beautifully represent in the book. And you know, every time I do a show like this, I can guarantee you, Carol, what's going to happen is, I'm going to get an email from a couple of my really close friends. And it's going to start out, yep, we knew you were from another planet. But we still are amazed by your fascination with things that a handful of people are experts at. And you're the expert at this. But it doesn't stop those of us that are sitting here from being so absolutely phenomenally interested and grateful that you're giving us another piece of the puzzle. When we come back, we're going to talk with Carol about what are the pieces of the puzzle. You know, what is it that my family knew about our South American, oh, my God, do I even say it, roots, that explain why I spend more time looking at Chile, Peru, Brazil, have all of my life, and never really understood that. But what did my grandfather embed in us as young children and kept as a family secret for years? Why, when we look at these rocks and these images, why do some of us feel like, can that be true? Is that right? Look at the map. Look at what Carol did and understand there's a heart connection as well as the science. When we come back, we're going to talk about what are some of these beautiful, beautiful messages, some of the glyphs. I want to get from Carol what her top five are, maybe her top three.
Okay.
Let's get your top three. Like, we're going to see if your top three is kind of like what we're leaning to. Let's take a short break, Benny Jacob, okay? And we'll be right back with that and much more.
With Dr. Pat at a new time. The Dr. Pat Show is still bringing you talk radio to thrive by now at a new time. Listen and watch live on KKNW and the Transformation Network Mondays and Wednesdays at 7 a.m. Pacific Time, beginning Monday, August 28th.
Stay tuned for new perspectives, powerful conversations, and epic transformation. For more information on how and where to find Dr. Pat and the rest of the Transformation Network hosts, visit thedrpatshow.com.
Tune into the Dr. Diane Show, where we explore revolutionary expansion of mind, body, and soul every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I bring over 20 years of expertise as a mindset warrior, perspective shifter, and unshakable optimist dedicated to helping you reach your wildest dreams in business, health, performance, and relationships. Join the discussion on the show. Learn more about me, Dr. Diane, and receive a free digital copy of my magazine at naturalnutmeg.com.
There isn't a magic pill to creating your healthy lifestyle, yet it doesn't have to be hard or feel impossible. Health works from the inside out, connecting both your body and your mind. Georgette LePage lives and breathes what she teaches, so allow her to be living proof of what can work for you. Connect with her now for a free 30-minute discovery session to see what results you are looking for and how she can help you get them. Visit GeorgetteLePage.com.
Are you struggling with truly being happy in life? Do you often question who you really are? I'm Tracy Lynn Wallace, a self-love mentor and life coach who can help you identify and access subconscious blocks to move you into a place of freedom, success, and happiness. Visit InspiredWisdomCoaching.com to sign up for my VIP list and get updates on my exclusive workshops so you can awaken your magic within. That's InspiredWisdomCoaching.com.
Tired of not losing the weight? You need a healthy solution for weight loss that protects your muscle mass as the fat burns away naturally. Holistic Medical Center has the healthy option for your weight loss concerns. Lose 1 to 3 pounds per day in 21 days, naturally, under our physician supervision. Call Holistic Medical Center, 425-451-0404. Or on the web, drdarvish.com, drdarvish.com.
Wow. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. And I just want to tell you all, that as of this Friday at 11 o'clock, it will be our last show at this time spot. But don't fear. On Monday morning, we will be at 7 a.m. right here where you can always find us on the Transformation Talk Radio and on KKNW 811. Carol, I don't want to jump into kind of the second part of the conversation without you sharing again. How do we find you? How do we find a copy of the book? By the way, the book for you is A Petroglyph of New. And Carol Mervig is joining me here today, C-A-R-O-L-E, for those of you trying to Google it. And then you also have a Facebook page, too, that they could find you on, right?
Yes, I do. And the Facebook page is the name of the book, The Petroglyphs of New.
Yeah.
And I don't have a website yet. I'm working on my second book, so...
Okay.
Taking a back seat.
That's okay. Just go over there, and when you get over there, you'll be able to see what we're talking about. You'll see some of the imagery we're talking about. You'll see some of the pictures. You're going to have some fun over there. You'll see the cover of the book. You can see the show that we posted today. But then you're also going to see some other beautiful images. I mean, if you think you have seen the Egyptian winged scarab, take a look at what's over there. Just take a look at some of these symbols and think to yourself, what did these people know? And that's really where I want to go with the book, because one of the things I said to you, I gave you kind of, Benny, I think, is a little amazed that I gave you like a heads up. But there are so many things in the book we can talk about. I just want to know, when you think about this, what's at the top of your list?
Well, that's a really good question, and there's so many things, of course.
Yeah. Now,
I guess my favorite, so to speak, are to me the most profound of the petroglyphs, a difficult choice, is the half of the winged sun disk. I mean, this is totally out of place for the Pacific, islands. And, well, many of these petroglyphs are so kind of technical and sophisticated and totally different than, you know, the Hawaiian stick figure, which are beautiful stick figure motifs and so forth. So this is just at another level. So this wing, it's, you know, when I saw this, it's I did recognize the wing disc, you know, motif from all my sacred sites and ancient, you know, all my research. And so it's the disc, it's a double circle, and it's got 12 segments in it. Well, this is like the zodiac or the, I mean, that's classical archetypical symbol in itself. And then, and there was only one side to the wing. There wasn't a, it was just one side. And on the right side, there's a wing that goes up, kind of has an elbow, and then comes down again. And so, unmistakably, you know, a wing shape, whether it was actually a wing of some sort. But, and then within the wing are these 90-degree angles throughout the whole, in the middle of the wing, on most, on the full wing. And when I saw that, it just hit me that this thing, this, in my opinion, is a map. And these 90-degree angles are the interdimensional turns in interdimensional travel that one must take. And the circle part is maybe kind of a you are here thing, or this is how we got here, or who knows. But I just got a strong sense of it being a map in addition to that, you know, classic wing disc symbol, which we all know goes that way. You know, that's a universal symbol from way back. So yeah. I guess that would have to, and there are more, oh, I wish I had more photographs. You know, I did a GoFundMe campaign in 2018 to go back to Pohnpei from Ecuador and to get more photos. Now I was staying there a month. I thought for sure I'd be able to, well, when I get back, the site is completely overgrown. Completely.
Really?
And, yes. Oh, you can't see anything now. You cannot see anything now. And I talked to the historic preservation and the governor and the king, who is my student in the Peace Corps, my English student. But anyway, none of them had ever seen these glyphs and this site before. None of them. And anyway, it was not, I mean, I don't know, I mean, there's politics and now Namdal is taking everyone's attention, but I couldn't get, I didn't have the funding to get a crew and take a couple dozen guys out there with machetes and take who knows how long. So I only found the largest one, so that was a huge disappointment. I did find one other petroglyph rock at that time, but anyway, so, you know, you asked for my favorite. Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying there's who knows how many more.
Exactly.
And underneath
exactly.
The rocks, the boulders and so forth. And so another favorite of mine, it's kind of not the appropriate word, but it's a large stone, and it in the center of it, it has like a basin. And the basin was full of water. Well, this is in the middle of that drought, and the field was burned out. How could there possibly be water in there? And then there were lines, geometric lines, that came up to the edge of the basin. And I knew that that's a classic water basin star mirror that's used in many cultures around the world, ancient cultures, because at night you could see the reflection of the stars, and if they moved, you could track them on the lines that come up to this basin. And so that is evidence of course, stargazing, and it also links it to these other ancient cultures that had the same mechanism, so to speak.
Yeah. I mean, I love this because I love the stories. And, you know, this really talks just two things for me. I know you're going to, I know there's a going back.
In I hope so.
Yeah, I know there is. There has to be. And there's so many places that are willing to fund things like that. I didn't know this now. you know, whether it is the History Channel having a conversation with you, who knows what it is. But the thing I love is when I think about this and I think about you, you are divinely appointed for this. Otherwise, you wouldn't have been there to begin with. These would not have been revealed to you originally. They wouldn't have stayed revealed to you for as long as they have. And then all of the things that have now lined up, everything from, you know, what did you say, the king being the your student. What I love about this, I mean, and you have seen things, and it's clear when you read the book, that you are seeing things that the average person would have not seen. Like the example I gave earlier. I mean, you're seeing things and making comparisons to things. You know, everything from, you know, dragons to whatever it is. But what's your second discovery? I don't want to jump in and tell you what I'm fascinated by. I want to just say, what else is like, this stuck with me too?
Well, and unfortunately, when I went back, I couldn't find the stone with the stars or the birds on it, as I recall when we came across. And, you know, I was just stunned. I was in an all, in, you know, all the page in and remember. And I have a photograph of two of the stars. I'm, unless my memory fails me, I believe there are seven stars. Well, we all know what that is, the Pleiades, and that is also very linked into the goddess and the feminine and the extraterrestrial or dimensional quality of the site. I would like to prove that. Another reason to go back. And then the whole, the site itself. I mean, those stones on the cover of the book, these are huge megaliths. They look tiny. But, you know, when a human is standing next to the largest, it comes maybe, you know, an eighth of the way up on these stones. So I believe there's some kind of stone circle or configuration there. And then these gigantic, the gigantic phallic stone, and I'm calling it that. And because there's no, you know, there's nothing in Puente oral history that explains this site. There's a legend about how it was created by these two brothers from the adjacent Kiti district, and they stole a blanket and they took it to this site and they threw it down on the ground and it became the petroglyphs. And this is what's important about this legend. And then these two brothers disappeared inside of this huge rock outcrop that has petroglyphs on it, and they disappeared, never to be seen again. They went through, and the legend says they went through the doorway. Duh. So, the site is part of the portal complex between, you know, the site, Namadal, and the city under the water next to near Namadal, deep under the water, which was... Namadal to me was not part of Mu per se, maybe some of its legacy, but the real city of Mu is under the water there, and it yet to be found, but it's named in legends. And so the thing is, but going back to the petroglyph site, it's older, way older than Namadal in my opinion, because these glyphs, nobody, the family living there, they know there's some glyphs on these boulders, but they have no idea who made them. Someone from the outside bearing stories, and they have no idea what they mean, the meaning of the glyphs or the meaning of the site. So that tells me, and Pompeians are great oral historians, all Pacific Islanders, you know, they go back generations, and it's an art form. And for them not to know what the site was for and what these petroglyphs mean, is very telling.
Yeah, and the reason I wanted you to share that, because I think you also really are tapping into this. Not every pyramid, petroglyph, symbol, even some that we're discovering that are so, so very old, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can guess like what the, I watched a show the other day about Chile. And, you know, Chile, people don't know this, but Chile is the country that has had the most, we're calling them UFOs, but they're not, right, has had the most ever anywhere. Finland has a city that has the most city ever. But why? And how are we seeing this? We're seeing these blips, but in some cases, they're monoliths, like you're describing in the book. And we don't know. So it's fascinating to watch people get together on a TV show and tell you what they think it is. Like this one giant one, you know, clearly looks like a helmet. But I love that when I look at what you're doing, I love that we don't have all the information. However, it doesn't stop us from putting the pieces together. It didn't stop you, Carol.
Well, and throughout the book, I often say, well, it could be this, it could be that. You know, who knows? And it could be all of the above. And plus, petroglyph sites, classically, those petroglyphs are carved over millennia. You know, the concept of a site upon a site, well, totally. And most petroglyph sites are the places where there are shamanic rituals and interdimensional journeying and that sort of thing, classically. And so I have no doubt that that was part of the function of this place. And speaking of the, yes, I'd love to go back. And now with LIDAR, I mean, the jungle has been... Last time I lived there, they did have small planes, and I had aerial photographs of the site, but all you see are trees, so that was useless. And there's no helicopters even today, I don't believe, on the island. And so, but with LIDAR and some of these other amazing technologies, especially dating petroglyphs by the soil underneath the rocks or something, I'm no expert. But that's, I mean, one of the motivations for writing the book is to get those kind of people interested, get some funding and the professionals that can do this sort of thing, because I think there's much, much more to be found there.
Yeah, I love that you're talking about this, because clearly there are a lot of things that, you know, your book talks about. And yes, everything in your book does warrant a further investigation. And don't you love the science? I mean, don't you love that we can take an aerial view of a site now?
Mm-hmm.
And whatever we're doing with that aerial view, it almost has like x-ray vision, for lack of my knowledge.
Exactly.
And they're looking and saying, wait a minute, that's what's on the surface, but look, look at what's underneath that. Isn't that phenomenal? I mean, if I'm you and I'm in the field you're in, are you like jumping up and down?
Well, to be sure. And there hasn't been, I mean, they finally, a couple of years ago, although on TV it's like somebody claims it as their discovery, 2-3 years ago, and I had it in my files, they did a LIDAR of Namadal and the adjacent natural island. And there wasn't a whole lot to be seen at Namadal, but the adjacent island had all this kerosene and all this, I mean, it was amazing. And I think the interesting part, what around Namadal is what's under the water there, not so, I mean, deep and away from the site somewhat. But yes, and also, that's why I want a submarine.
Carol.
Yes.
Here's my question. I want you to look ahead. What are you most, what gets you fired up now when you look ahead and you say, man, if I had like my genie out of the bottle, I could grant me 3 wishes so that I could further the message from the great goddess of Mother Earth, what would be the 3 wishes?
Okay. Well, the first one, which is actually pretty attainable, attainable, and that is to complete this work. I have to finish. I'm doing my next book will be Nam-It-All Revealed, specifically about Nam-The-Doll. And what it's going to focus on is the sacred geometry of the site, because that has not been touched. And after living there and knowing all of the other accompanying sites, so that's my number one on my list. And that was originally going to be in this book, but the publisher, no, you need to do two books. So it was wise. And so that, my goal is to have that finished by the end of the year. And there are far fewer photographs, so that should be easier. And then, well, of course, going back to Pompeii with funding, with technical, I normally act as a guide or a consultant. I mean, I'm not a professional archaeologist by any means, but I know where everything is. And so that, of course, would be my next dream. And it's not, it's not a pleasant spot to visit. It's really hot and humid, but if I have the opportunity. And then, I guess it would be, I'm really also interested in how these sites, and Pompeii and Nam-It-All is already recognized in many ways in being in various planetary grid systems. And so to have the technology or a genie or a young tech whiz that could do all this, on the computer with the geodesic tracking and the technical ability to map this out, because I've done some mapping of the energetic grid both on the Big Island. I lived there 20 years. And the first grid map of Pompeii Island was done by Terry Ross, who's now deceased, but he was a famous, he was like the president of the American Dowsing Society. And long story, but he drew on the map of Pompeii where the grid lines were, and he could do that remotely. Anyway, that's another story. But so, and then also just to see more of South America. I'm here living in South America, and I've just been writing. So because South America is here, I mean, it's, it was right next to Mu, Lemuria, and there are, all of the oral histories of, the migrations after the sunken land of the Pacific and going east to, all directions, but to the south, the western coast of South America is full of evidence.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah, so.
I mean, that's what I was referring to when I was talking about Chile. I mean, there's so much that we're now discovering, right? And it's coming to us in bits and pieces. And that's why I was so fascinated by what you wrote in your book, because it's another piece of the puzzle. And I don't really quite understand how the funding is not available, because it is a piece of the puzzle that would certainly fill in some gaps for a lot of other people, a lot of archaeologists, right? You know what I'm saying? And, to be able to go back and to, with permission, of course, because, we've got to be very mindful of the land these days, right? But to go back and be able to work to discover, to reveal, right? I mean, what is this, some of the words I'm looking for here? To be able to show people what is there and to have them really tap into it from both a heartfelt way and an energetic way. And that's my last question to you. We haven't talked about the energy grid. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about like your utility company.
Yes, I'm talking about. Of course.
Yes. How would you, from your perspective, how would you describe energetically what's there?
Well, the best way to describe it is contrasting the Pohnpei petroglyph site with Nan Badal. Nan Badal, you know, you go there and it's very impressive, but it is intense and it is heavy, in my opinion, what I felt. And, you know, it's a patriarchy site. And to contrast it with the Pohnpei area, it's very freeing and opening. And, you know, these stones are like alive and they're in nature. You know, you have that connection there. And not so much at Nan Badal for me. And I spent a lot of time at Nan Badal. However, and the third place, Kanimueso, is the city of Mu that's sunk under the ocean there. And I don't know what that's like, but what I, one time when I was scuba diving near Nan Badal, I had the group went ahead and I was back there and I wasn't all that deep, maybe 70 feet or something, but all of a sudden I was there and I wasn't there, and it was like I kept swimming, and then the Lord's Prayer, you know, that's not typical of me to be in my mind repeating the Lord's Prayer over and over and over again. And I don't know how much time passed, but then I think someone came to get me and I was back in my body. And so for me, that's, you know, there's some kind of interdimensional portal doorway in that area. And that's my personal experience with
that.
Oh,
my God. I love it. Carol, we could go on and on and on, but I want to make absolutely sure the people that are listening to this, they can absolutely find out from you how they get the book and find out and keep up with you and support what you're doing. How do they do that?
Well, actually, probably the best way would be the Facebook page, the Petroglyphs of Mu, and my name is there, I mean, by messaging me there, and I'm sorry I don't have an official website to send someone to.
Oh, that's okay. They'll get you right there on the Facebook.
Yes, they will.
Good. Look, one last question. What's your personal message? What would you like to leave us with today? Carol, did I lose
you? Yes, you did lose me. It's our connection with, if this book or my work can help people to realize how important it is to connect with nature and understand it and read it and feel it,
right,
and interpret it. And I guess that would be the most important thing I would have to say.
I love it. Carol, thank you so much for everything you're doing. We're going to hold the space for you to take that trip back there and finish what you started.
Oh, thank you.
Yep, we're going to know that, you know, whatever the funding is that you need, whatever the team you need to put in place is already there. Whatever it is that the universe can provide you with to have you go back and honor cultures, honor the mystery, and to inform the rest of us on one more piece of the puzzle. We're going to absolutely hold that space for you. Thank you so much for today.
And thank you, Pat, for this wonderful opportunity. I so appreciate it.
Oh, my gosh. So much here and so much more. Thank you all for tuning us in. So much more. Thank you all for tuning us in and turning us on. Thank you, Benny. Thank you, Jacob. Thanks to Carol. Especially thanks to all of you. We will see you next time.